Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, great to see all of you here tonight. And again, tonight's focus is kind of it's the appetizer for each of the Wednesdays that we're going to journey through in Lent based on the acronym SCARS. I'll explain that here in my message here this evening. I just love the words and I believe them. They inspire me just to live life in general. Jesus said them, John chapter 8. Do you believe these words? First off, do you believe these? Whoever the Son sets free, how does it go? I forgot. Is free indeed. Yeah, I didn't forget. I was just putting you on. I was testing you. Yeah. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. John chapter 8, verse 36. And do you feel those words? Now, you believe them, but do you feel them? Here's how you feel them. You're a little less worry, have a little less worry in life. You don't have any anxiety. You don't have any shame, don't have any guilt. You don't feel chained to anything, demands, nothing like that. Now when I say that, it's kind of like, I don't know, am I really free? We do oftentimes feel worried and guilt-ridden and filled with shame. We're not as free. We don't feel free. We want to capture that feeling. That's my goal this Lent. David Kinnaman wrote a book about what Christians are known for. I've referenced it before. The book came out 15 years ago. David Kinnaman came up and spoke to a bunch of pastors in the Northwest about 4 years ago. And he's a part of the Barna group, and they study what people think about Christians. And the book on Christian really is eye-opening to find out what outsiders say. Think of the lady or the man that lives on Green Street. This is what they think of us, perhaps. So to make it very specific, Christians are known, first of all, for being hypocritical. We say one thing, but we do another. Number two in the book is Christians are known for just being too focused on converting. In other words, getting more numbers, but not really authentically connecting with people in meaningful ways. Number three is Christians are seen by outsiders as too political. In other words, we're too focused on political topics and more so than what Jesus actually says in his Gospels. Now, number four, and I'm just quoting the research, and not agreeing or disagreeing, just so you all know. Number four was anti-homosexual. Outsiders outside the walls say that we struggle in our way of relating to understanding people, having a compassionate heart to someone that might be homosexual. Number five is that we're sheltered. They say that we don't really have significant answers to life's deepest questions. How does that feel to hear all that? In other words, this is why I point that out. We're to be known as free. We should be known as like, hey, that's the church that has free people and light and love and freedom, but we're known for those things. What a difference it would make at the end of Lent if we were known more for being known as the people that's got those free people. They're light and so easy. What a difference that would make, and not so much the things mentioned in David Kinnaman's book. How can we feel free? It really comes from having a deep sense that we are forgiven. Our text, let's just dive into John 20 real quick, just some details about this passage. John 20 is a moment in which the disciples, a few days before this moment, they had been gathered in a room. The death of Jesus had happened. He was in a tomb, and the disciples were gathered. It's interesting because Jesus said, go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. Guess what they do? They go and lock themselves in their door, or they lock themselves in a room, and they don't want to be, they're fear-filled, they're anxious, they feel guilty, there's a lot of regret going on. And in that moment, Jesus says to them, he points out the pierced hands, the marks on his hands, and he points out the spear piercing on his side to them. And what a moment that was for these 11 disciples. But there was one of them that wasn't there. And that's where tonight's passage comes into play. Thomas didn't believe. He needed to see the marks. He needed to place his fingers into those, into the holes. Jesus appears uninvited and reaches Thomas in this reading. And Jesus said, put your fingers here. See my hands. Place your hand into my side. Now the Greek on that, place your hand to my side, is kind of like a, it's really a carnal word, which means really put your hand into my side. It's really shocking, actually, the original language of this. So what a moment. Jesus was alive. Really powerful. But as I've read this text and passage, the thing that strikes me, just an odd little detail. Why did God leave the marks, the scars of Jesus on his body? He had defeated death. There was no, like, why leave the scars on his body? Was it to come back to the disciples and show the scars so that they'd feel more guilt and shame and regret and worry and fear? I want you all to know that's not why. There's another reason. Scars communicate to someone healing and grace and overcoming things and that God provides. Do you have a scar that recalls a moment like that for you? I just love to hear stories like that. Email me later. I love hearing like stories. No gory details, please. I have 3 scars on my midsection. One, and you can guess why I have them. One in my belly button, right below it. One at the top of my belly, and one right here. I got those scars February 2004. I can tell you the day of the week. I can't tell you the date. I don't remember dates very well. I remember days of weeks. I don't know why. That's just a weird part of my mind. But it was a Friday night.